1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once you find your place, would you stand, please? And we shall begin to read in verse number 1. And we'll read through verse 27. The Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now I would to God," now that doesn't say that in Scripture, I'm saying it, "I would to God that we could get hold of the next three verses. I am tired up to here of hearing one person judge other Christians because they don't do everything exactly like they do it. That's disgraceful. It's disgusting. It shows how little they are spiritually, how much they need to grow, how their heart is not right with God, and they don't understand the working of God in the lives of men and women. Now listen, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." Here's the sin that fundamental Baptist church members, sometimes they're deacons, sometimes they're young, zealous Christians that's got more zeal than knowledge, but they're trying to fit everybody into the same mold. And we don't all fit the same mold. We need to be mindful of that. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." Now notice verse 11. "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally," or separately, "as He wills. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now listen. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Is the foot not part of the body? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Is the ear part of the body? As much as the eye is. And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" Look at verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him." Not the preacher, not the deacon, not the squirrely young preacher that thinks he knows more than the Bible. God did it. It's God's doing. "As it hath pleased Him. But if they were all one member, where were the body?" He said if they were all eyes, what'd happen to the body? Reminds me of that story about the little boy that was born and is just a head. Had no arms, no legs, no body, just a head. Had beautiful eyes, beautiful little round face, nice hair, but he's just a head. He'd lay there in his baby bed and look out the window and see little boys across the street playing baseball, and oh, he wanted to have a body. One day he got saved. He believed with all his head. And he got saved. Hush. He got saved and he just kept growing. He started praying. Couldn't do much else. But he started praying, God, would you give me a body? Would you give me a body? Please, God, give me a body so I can be like other little boys. One morning he woke up and he had a body, two hands, two arms, two legs, two feet, and he was so excited. He got up and found something to dress in and ran outside and was running across the street over to the playground to play with the kids. And while he was crossing the street, a car hit him and killed him. Now the moral of that story is stop while you're ahead. But thank God, we're not all one eye, all eyes, or not all hands, or not just all heads, or not all feet or elbows, but God has put into the church body members to make a complete body. Now, our job as church members is to realize who we are and how God has gifted us spiritually and develop our gifts so that we might be a good part, a usable part, a blessed part of the body. Quit trying to make everybody eyeballs and everybody ears. Because you're an ear. You want everybody to be like you, but God didn't want everybody like you. Thank God he didn't want everybody like me. But he's put people in our congregation to make up the body. We've got to accept that. The Bible says he did it as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. They're necessary. By the way, how many of you might be an elbow? Elbow's not much to look at. It's wrinkled. Sometimes it's kind of crusty. Huh? Dry. Who would want to be an elbow? But hey, don't discount the importance of the elbow. If you didn't have an elbow, you couldn't eat unless you fed yourself with your foot. You'd have to get married so you could feed your wife and she could feed you. It's deep, isn't it? Now those members of the body which we think be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism. That's a good Bible word, schism. It means no division. No one isolating themselves from other people because they think they're better. No one in the church looking down their long nose thinking they're better than other members. Well, because I'm a better soul winner than you are, I'm better than you. Well, hey, he may be a better teacher. Or because I give more, I may be a better member. Well, God set some in the church and given them the gift of giving. Giving is a spiritual gift. He gives some the ability to make money so they'll have it to give to every good work. Quit looking down your nose. Quit thinking somebody's more important or less important than someone else. God has put us in His body for a purpose. The Bible says in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I want to speak to you tonight for just a few minutes on this subject. How to get along in the family of God. How to get along in the family of God. I'm tired of people pouting and getting their feelings hurt and people being rude and crude and hurting other people because they think they're Mr. Wonderful. I'm tired. I'm about the place where I want to quit praying for you and start kicking you. I want our people to love one another. And I want you to know there's not one person in this church more important than the other. And if you think you are, then you got a problem. Your problem's with God. And it's a big problem because it contradicts the Word of God. Every now and then we'll have somebody who thinks it's their job to run the preacher, tell the preacher how to run the church. Won't you ask God to call you and go to start one so you can run it? Okay? Just being honest with you, God didn't put six pastors to lead the church. Father, help me tonight to be a blessing. There's not a people in this world I love more than these people. Sometimes, just as a father needs to sit down and say to his children, his family, we've got to straighten out some things in order to be the kind of family we ought to be. The preacher has to sit down and look at his people and say, we've got to straighten out some things in order to be the kind of church God wants us to be. Help me tonight to be a blessing to our people so we can learn and grow. I thank you for those that are compassionate and caring and concerned. I thank you for those who are concerned for the newest member or what the world might classify as the least most important member. I don't know who that would be in our church. But God, help us to encourage one another. Help coming to the house of God to be something good. Something encouraging, something helpful, something that will strengthen us and make our marriage better and our child rearing better and our serving you better. God, help us to get over the spirit where we think we're Mr. Wonderful and Mr. God and we're God's gift to make sure everybody else does things right. Help us to be wise enough to know that not everybody's on the same level as we might be. There's some out there struggling and trying to learn. Some are new. Some are weak. Some are sickly. Some are eager, but they haven't been around long enough to grow to the place where they want to be. Help us to be mindful of all of that and be the kind of Christian that helps one another to take the next step. Help us to guard our mouth and our lips so that we don't hurt new Christians and weak Christians with speech and talk that ought not be coming from our mouth. Help us, Lord Jesus, to help one another to grow. And Lord, help us to understand when a brother is saying things that hurts the church and hurts a weak Christian, maybe we could help them by saying, you know, I don't think we ought to talk like that. I think we need to spend time in prayer rather than complaining and talking. God, help us to learn. Help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, preacher, is there a problem? Not that I know of, but I don't plan to have one next week either. Okay? No matter how old you are or what position you may attain, there's always someone over you to whom you're answerable. We'll not always get our way about everything. And not everybody is going to be pleased with all you do. And no matter how hard you try, you're never going to please everybody with what you say or what you do. However, we've got to learn how to get along in the family of God, in our church. Dear God, if we can't get along in our church as Christians, where can we go to get along? May I say to you that Christians that get out of step and harmony with God do more to hurt the church than the devil is doing in most churches? The church at Corinth was fragmented. It was full of schisms. Everyone seemed to have their favorite preacher. And if you didn't like their favorite preacher, then they didn't like you. Human nature has not changed in 2,000 years. By the way, you say, where do you get that? Paul said, some of you say, I'm of Paul. Others say, I'm of Apollos. This is my favorite. That's my favorite. Our love ought to be to Jesus. Thank God for the men of God that preaches the Word of God. Human nature has not changed in 2,000 years. The depravity of our nature and the pull of our sin hurts us, and it hurts others when it comes to relationships, even in our families and in our churches. Some people cannot get along at home, in their own biological family. Some can't get along at work. They're always having conflicts with somebody at work. And they bring their differences into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it hurts others, usually weak or new Christians there. You don't have to like everybody in the church of the living God. We are commanded to love one another. There's some people I enjoy fellowshipping with, and there's others I'll be kind to. And I love them, but I don't want to spend a lot of time with them. Some of you feel that about me. And that's all right. That's all right. There are people in the church that no one wants to work with because they're difficult to get along with. They're just ornery and cantankerous. And as children of God, we must learn how to work through our petty differences. We must learn to work through our hurts for the cause of Christ and for the others who are weak and unsaved, needing Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to consider the terrible hurt caused by petty jealousies and envy, hurt feelings in the church. Someone thinking they're better than someone else. Someone thinking that, hey, because I do this or I'm elected to this and I have this position, I'm better than someone else. Well, that's a hurtful spirit. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. Why, one wrong decision, one wrong turn, we could have been down and outers. People get hurt because of our jealousy and envy. Well, he could say, I wish I could sing like Brother Ingram sang tonight. I can't. I hate his guts. That's the way some of you look at other people that can do things that you can't. You either despise them, or you ridicule them, ostracize yourself from them. The key to a happy relationship in our church or in our marriage family is learning to practice the follow three verses. And I want you to listen to these three verses. You ought to write them down. They'll help you if you'll learn to practice them. I'll tell you, you'll take a giant step up in growth as a Christian if you'll learn to practice them. Your marriage and your home life will take a wonderful step up if you'll learn to practice it. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now see, that's against our nature. We want to be over each other instead of submitting. And because that spirit is not prevalent in our lives, we have trouble yielding to the will of God and to the Word of God. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Whoa. Nothing done through strife. We're not going to get even. We're not going to show them. We're not going to do it for the vainglory of it. But in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem other better than ourselves. I promise you, there's people right here listening to me tonight. You've got a list of people that you think you're better than they are. And that goes against what God asks us to be as Christians. And as long as we have that attitude, we're not going to be able to get along in our marriage. We're not going to be able to get along in our family. And we're not going to be able to get along in the church of God, the family of God. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, boy, that verse goes against our rebellious streak. I'm not going to submit to anybody. I hear that all the time. And yet that Bible says, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Well, bless God, I'm a better Christian than they are. Yeah, but you're not as old as they are. You're not as wise as they are. Won't you show respect out of respect for the Word of God? And then, be subject one to another. Didn't say rule over one another. Said be subject one to another. And do it clothed with humility. Isn't that amazing? Now God's telling us to prefer others before ourselves. Yet some unscrupulous and selfish individual will try to take advantage of us when we do that. Yeah, they will. I can't tell you how many times I've been taken advantage of. You say, well, bless God, preacher, you ought not help them anymore. No, I can't get like you, or I'm not obeying what God said to do. See, I want God's blessings on my life. I want God's power on my life. I want God to use me. I don't want to get to a place where I'm hard and calloused and careless and without caring for anyone. Yes, we may be taken advantage of. Let me tell you, we'll gain friends and we'll gain respect, and more importantly, we'll gain favor with God. And in so doing, our church will be strengthened. The cause of Christ will be advanced. The ground for growth will be fertile. And God will be greatly and honored and pleased with our life. Consider what's going on among Christians in churches all over the world. And it shouldn't be so. There's jealousy over spiritual gifts. We want what they have instead of developing what God has given us to use for His glory. We have people in our church that are as gracious as anybody I've ever met, and as humble as anybody I've ever met, and they're as generous and caring and loving as anyone I've ever yet met. And yet, if you talk to them, they'll tell you how unworthy they feel. Isn't that a wonderful spirit? That's the reason God just keeps on blessing. He just keeps on blessing. We must remember that God has given to us our spiritual gifts and personal talents as it has pleased Him. And if we'd all use them and develop them for God, there'd be no need in the church that was not met. Now, let me make a suggestion here. God gives us both spiritual gifts and talents. Now, God gives talents to both saved and unsaved. He gives spiritual gifts only to the saved. And may I suggest to you at work at developing your spiritual gift first and then your talents? You see, talents can be fleshly. Talents will be connected with ego and pride. And if you're good at something when you use a talent, if you're not careful, you'll want everybody to brag on you and pat you on the back. And develop your spiritual gifts first. Then you'll know how to use your talents for God. But we do opposite. We work at it in the opposite. We'll ignore our spiritual gift and we'll develop our talent because it gives us personal recognition. And our job is not to gain personal recognition, it's to give Him recognition. Instead of being jealous or envying someone else, we ought to get busy developing the gift God has given us and the talents God has entrusted us for use in serving and worshiping God. Our sin nature causes us to major on petty sins and jealousy, and we allow hurt feelings and misunderstandings come in and hinder us from obeying God. Well, these hurt feelings and misunderstandings and petty sins and jealousy and hurts ought to all be dealt with scripturally, and that means put them under the blood of Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. May I say to you that God intended for the body, the church, to work together in unity, harmony, and love. You know, when I walk, I don't even have to think about walking. Because my body, my feet and legs are a part of my body and my brain controls it and it just comes naturally. And some of us are getting to the place where it's not as easy as it used to be. But nevertheless, the church is to work together like a body. Do you think about eating? When I put food in my mouth, I chew automatically. Now, if you're a blonde, you may have to say, chew, 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 swallow. But normally, it just happens automatically, doesn't it? Because it's all part of the body. God wants our church to work that way. Unity and harmony is dependent upon agreeing on truth. Unity and harmony is not the result of love, it's the result of agreement in truth. And that truth is the Word of God. There ought to be and must be doctrinal agreement among Christians and the church. There can be no unity or harmony without agreement in doctrinal truth. That's the reason we as Bible-believing Baptists have a confession of faith that we stand for. There are essentials that we must agree on as a church. And then we've got to make sure we don't make our personal preferences of greater importance than the doctrinal truth. We can have preferences and differ. But doctrinal truth does not differ from one person to another if you believe the Word of God. So our unity and harmony is based on truth, the truth of the Word of God. The question is asked in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer is a resounding no, they cannot. Whereas unity and harmony is dependent upon agreement to truth, loving one another is a choice we make. Now listen, when I got to know my wife, I chose to love her. And love is a choice we make. I chose to love Jesus Christ. I chose to love His church. It's not some chemical juice that produces a fuzzy feeling called love. It's a choice we make. Well, bless God, I don't love. So you haven't made that choice. You've made a choice not to love. I made a choice to love my wife, and I've loved her now for more than 50 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we obeyed God and loved one another? Isn't that amazing? God commands us more than 12 times, I think 12 times in the New Testament, we're commanded to love one another. Now, He didn't say, get your chemical juices flowing right so love is produced. No. He commands us to love one another. It's a command. It's a command. I love you and I chose to love you. Some of you break my heart. Some of you get me stirred up sometime. But I love you. And I've chosen to love you. And the more I know you, the more I'm around you, the longer I'm around you, the more I love you. But it starts with a choice. We must understand that God made us and He's given to us gifts as He desired, and we need to be content with what God has entrusted to us. Develop our gifts, develop our talents, then use them for the glory of God in the church. We're to be supportive of one another. Big toes, not much. It's hard to get to when you're my age and my size. It's not much. But you know what that big toe does? It gives me balance and agility. Your thumb's not much. But it sets me apart from most of other creation. It makes it possible for me to hold something and lock it in my hand. Back in the Old Testament, when they took prisoners in war, many times they'd cut off their thumb and cut off their big toes and then let them be free as servants. You say, why did they do that? Because they couldn't hold a sword to fight. If they had a sword and then strike a blow with a sword with no thumb, it'd fly out of their hand. If they had no great toe or big toe, they didn't have the agility to run and have the balance for warfare. Made good servants. Poor soldiers. Now, I'm simply saying to you, we need to support one another. That thumb supports the hand. The toe supports the foot, and the foot the body. The knee is an ugly thing. I don't know why women want to show it. It's an ugly thing. But yet, oh my soul, if it doesn't work right, your feet don't work right. Your body doesn't work right. It supports the body. And the Bible tells us we're to be that way in reference to one another. Because we're part of the body, we ought to help one another work and function better and more completely for the Lord. Now let me give you some scriptures and I'll be through. Following are some scriptures that will help us get along in the family of God if we'll obey and practice them. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now let me tell you, what is implied here is that not that everybody in the church stand up in the church and tell each other all about their sins. That's not what that verse is talking about. But if you have offended someone or your actions have hurt someone, admit it as sin and confess it to that person. And ask them to pray with you and put it under the blood. And by the way, there's a lot of people sickly in the church because God is judging them. They've hurt someone. They won't admit they're wrong. They won't ask for forgiveness. And God says, all right, I'm going to chasten you. And God chastens a lot of different ways, not just through sickness. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. When you're wrong or you've done wrong, admit it. Ask for forgiveness and pray one for another. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it's called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That word exhort one another means to encourage one another, to help each other alone in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. Be alert to the needs of others. Look for those to encourage. You do it today for someone else, because tomorrow you're going to need someone to encourage you, I promise you. 1 Corinthians 12:25. That there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That verse tells us that there's no partiality to be in the church. No special groups, no social order. Every member is a part of God's family and a part of His church, and everyone is special to God. And the truth is, the weaker ought not get the most of our criticism, but they ought to get more of our attention and help. Thank you. Here's a good one. Talking about how to get along in the family of God. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. 1 John 4:7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Well, here's an important one, Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You ought to remember that. You ought to memorize it. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then remember this, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Isn't it amazing how quick we forget the pit from which we came? How quickly we forget all that God has forgiven us of. And so what do? We're critical of others and judge others, and people are struggling in areas maybe not as bad as what God has forgiven us. And we don't treat them as Christians. We don't treat them like God treated us. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now let me finish. Christians ought to be stronger and happier because they're members of the same church I am a member of. Does your Christian life and your membership in your local church make other people stronger and happier? Or do people drop out because of you? People get offended. My Christian life ought to help others in our walk with God. Does it? I'm asking you, church, let us not be judgmental toward other Christians that have not grown to the same level we are at this time. Let us not be critical of other Christians who have been given spiritual gifts differing from our spiritual gifts. Let us be helpful, encouraging, always trying to help the weaker brother along to the next step and the next level in Christian growth. Father, that's our message. It's a message for Wednesday night and for the people of God, the best people in our church.